Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are going to be talking about gay marriage this hour of the program. On Monday of this week, same-sex marriage was court-approved, and weddings began in a few locations around California at 5:01, the first minute allowed by last month's decision by the California Supreme Court legalizing same-sex marriage. More marriages have been held during the week as all 58 counties issued marriage licenses for same-sex couples. The first couple to be wed symbolically in San Francisco, Del Martin, 87 years old, and Phyllis Lyon, 84 years old, longtime gay rights activists. And they gave their vows in the office of the San Francisco mayor, and they've been together for some 50 years. The court decision was an interesting one because the court is considered to be relatively moderate. It's a Republican-dominated court that legal scholars have long called a cautious court, and experts said that it was likely to influence other courts, perhaps, around the country. In the majority opinion, our state now recognizes that an individual's capacity to establish a loving and long-term committed relationship with another person and responsibility to care for and raise children does not depend upon the individual's sexual orientation. An individual's sexual orientation, like a person's race or gender, does not constitute a legitimate basis upon which to deny or withhold legal rights. Of course, this will be injected in the, in campaigns for Congress and Senate in states all over the country and probably into the presidential campaign. And there, of course, is a consideration of whether or not there will be votes on defining marriage as between a man and a woman and whether that may overrule this ruling by the California State Supreme Court. So this issue is on the table this hour. We have two guests with us, and we'll be welcoming your phone calls, as we always do, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Washington State Representative Jamie Peterson is one of our guests. Jamie Peterson is serving the 43rd Legislative District in the state of Washington and chaired the board of the National Civil Rights Organization, Lambda Legal, served as Lambda's lead volunteer lawyer on the state's marriage equality case. He is with us now, went to Yale, studied Russian and history, and spent a year living in Russia and collecting oral histories of Soviet-Afghan war veterans. There's another talk show for us at some point. Representative Peterson, thank you so much for being with us.
Good morning. It's my pleasure.
Yeah, nice to have you here. Also joining us is Eric Shore. He is part of a gay couple living in California who are planning to get married on their 27th anniversary in July, and we'll talk about that upcoming marriage. Eric, thank you so much for being with us.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Yeah. So was it a surprise, this court in California, considered, as I said in the intro, it's a Republican court, it is considered to be fairly conservative. So what's this ruling all about, Representative Peterson?
Well, I think it's a happy coincidence that this is the 60th anniversary of the year in which the California Supreme Court struck down the California ban on interracial marriage.
Hmm.
And there is a long history of California being a leader in recognizing the worth of all people, the dignity of all people, and trying to provide respect for all people and their rights. So, I think the precise timing was a little bit of a surprise, but obviously people had pinned a lot of hope on California for the last 4 years as the litigation progressed.
Mm-hmm. And the number of marriages, we saw some this week, I would imagine that there will be many of them because it is unclear what's going to happen down the road with this pronouncement, isn't it?
Well, I guess I'd say it a little bit differently. I think we'll see many marriages, not so much because of unclarity, but because people are really clear about their commitment to each other and their love for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the chance to express that publicly is something that there's a great pent-up demand for among same-sex couples.
Right. And once you're married there, right?
And once you're married there, and you should be married everywhere.
So, Eric, you're getting married after 27 years with your partner. That's a long time, sir.
Yeah, you know, time flies when you're having fun. What can I say?
So tell me, how did the decision affect you? What were your immediate thoughts here?
Well, it was really a dream come true. After years of being together, we knew that if it were ever legal to be married, it was something we wanted to do, and we've lived our lives openly and honestly with our families and friends, and however, you know, as far as the government is concerned, we're invisible and we don't exist. And to feel that this is an opportunity to actually count as a couple, we want to just continue to live openly and honestly. So this is a recommitment of our love. It certainly isn't the start of our relationship, which many marriages are.
Right. So what does it do internally to the number of people who are going to be getting married, gay couples all over California, when you talk about that what does it give to you that you didn't have before? You have the support of your family and your friends. To be able to get married gives you a bigger soul or something, would you say?
Well, it gives us, it legally gives us many rights.
Right.
It gives us responsibilities. It allows us to live by the same rules as, say, our parents did or do. And, again, living life knowing that you're not being counted is not a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit, Representative Peterson, about the effort that you led as a lawyer on the state's marriage equality case in Washington.
Well, Washington had its first marriage case filed in the early 1970s that unfortunately resulted in a loss. About 12 or 13 years ago, there was a group of people led really by Lambda Legal, the Northwest Women's Law Center here in Seattle, and the ACLU of Washington, that started working on what would happen if Hawaii were to legalize marriage between same-sex couples.
Mm-hmm.
And originally we thought that we were going to be in a situation sort of like what we find ourselves in now with California, where we had Washington couples going to Hawaii and coming back to our state and coming up with arguments for why those marriages should be respected here. We went through a lot of ups and downs in that process, and in 1998, after some years of fighting it back, we suffered a loss when the legislature passed the Mini Defense of Marriage Act, as it's called, and said that Washington would recognize only marriages between one man and one woman.
Mm-hmm.
Our efforts continued, though, and in 2004, when the city of San Francisco started to issue marriage licenses in the wake of Massachusetts' decision to do so, there was enormous pressure up here for our elected officials to start issuing marriage licenses as well. And our county executive, who is his name is Ron Sims, he's a passionate supporter of marriage equality, but he thought that the right process was not for him just to change the law himself, but rather for the courts to decide that the current restriction was unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
So he essentially invited us to sue him, and we took advantage of his invitation and started lawsuits both here in King County, that was by Lambda Legal and the Northwest Women's Law Center, and one in Thurston County, where Olympia is our state capital. We won those lawsuits in the trial court, and the courts, I think, correctly determined that the state's restriction on marriage to same-sex to different-sex couples was really an unequal granting of privileges to different classes of citizens without a rational basis, and also that it was unequal sex discrimination, and that it denied same-sex couples the fundamental right to marry.
Mm-hmm.
That case went up to our state Supreme Court, and in a very heartbreaking decision in 2006, the court, by a 5-4 margin decided that that it was constitutional for the legislature to restrict marriage to different sex couples if it wished to. Very strong dissent from four of the justices. And unfortunately, I think one of the things that we learned afterwards was that three of the justices who voted against us had been up for election during the time that the litigation was pending. And you know, if we had put a little bit more effort into the campaigns rather than in the briefing, we might have had a different result. So that's a good a good lesson going forward, and I hope that people take it to heart this year in this election season, because who is making the, which public officials are making decisions, whether it's judges or legislators or executives, has a profound effect on the resolution of these issues.
Right. Tell me more. When you mentioned a little while ago, Eric, that you and your partner would now be able to have many more rights than you have as a couple that, that's not married. What are some of those rights?
Well, married couples have the privilege of hospital visitation rights. They have, and we will have the ability to. There will no longer be a question as if we, as to whether or not we are related. Being unmarried, we are not looked at as relatives of one another. So 27 years together, and as far as many institutions and the government is concerned, we could be next-door neighbors.
Right.
And that includes taxation, it includes inheritance rights, property tax. The way it's set up in California, if one spouse dies of a married couple, their residence is not reassessed. But since we are not today a married couple, if one of us were to die, our house would be reassessed, and that causes a lot of people to lose their homes.
Oh, my.
And again, we just do not exist legally as a couple. And, of course, straight couples who choose not to marry are in exactly the same predicament. However, they have a choice. And every gay couple doesn't need to get married by any means. It's just the idea of being forbidden to be married is what needs to be changed, unfortunately, has changed in California.
Do you feel some sense of urgency about this marriage? One of the news reports said the celebrations in the gay community are tempered by the knowledge that people in California could vote in November to undo the Supreme Court decision, meaning another step backward for a marriage equality movement that has, as you well know, experienced many setbacks over the past 20 years.
Well, I mean, I definitely feel that the celebration, my joy is tempered, knowing that that we do have a fight ahead of us. I'm involved in the gay and lesbian community, and we will need to financially support and volunteer for the efforts to defeat this constitutional amendment that was put by the extreme right. And I also feel positive about people. You know, I'm sort of a glass half full guy, and I think that once people see couples getting married, they discover that their worlds do not fall apart. That they're going to be much more reluctant to take away someone's right and someone's joy than to simply feel like they're voting for something that doesn't exist anyway. As far as why I'm getting married in July, we are getting married on our 27th anniversary, which is on a Saturday this year. You know, so it was all meant to be, you know, so it's I don't need to memorize another date. It's very convenient.
You're right. When's our anniversary? Uh-oh, right. You better remember.
I don't want to say which one.
Do you mind if I ask what it's going to be like? Is it a big to-do or a small gathering?
It is a small to-do by our standards. We did a very, very big event for our 25th anniversary. We are involved in a lot of social organizations and causes, and we had a very big black tie event 2 years ago. So for this, we are having family and a close group of friends, which, because of the size of our families, we'll probably have 100 people. It'll be an afternoon garden, kind of low-key celebration. The rabbi who performed my bar mitzvah some 35 years ago will be performing the ceremony.
Oh, my gosh. That's pretty meaningful, huh?
Yeah, it sure
is. Representative Peterson, what about this? I mean, this is going to be right smack in the political debate again because of the California decision. What about this vote that will be taking place in November in the state of California that, of course, could undo the Supreme Court decision? I know there are a lot of nervous Nellies and Neds around the country who want to make sure that marriage is defined as between a man and a woman and will do everything they can to make sure their states say that that's what marriage is.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. I actually think that this is going to be a big backfiring issue for them because
really?
I tend to agree that that once you have one of the things that we really saw in Massachusetts is that after marriage licenses started issuing, the polling support among the public for same-sex couples being able to get married went from the high 30s to the mid 60s. Because the fact is that once people sort of realize that you don't run out of marriage licenses, there will still be enough for everyone to go around down at the courthouse,
right?
That the state of California, like the state of Massachusetts, won't slide into the ocean locusts and hailstorms and plagues, they go back to realizing that there are really a lot of other issues that are much more important to most of them than this. Now, I'm not saying by any means that this isn't a critical issue, especially for the couples who are living without these rights. But one of my law partners a few years ago commented to me at the time that people started getting married in Massachusetts that it was striking to him that all of the people who were affected most directly by this were just overjoyed by it, and that most of the people who seemed so angry about it, it didn't really affect at all. And I think when that knowledge sort of sets in with people, I think you'll find that there's a lot of calm among most of the public, and they'll turn their minds back to the Iraq War and the economy and really be focused on other issues.
Yeah.
And I think that as the as some of the big supporters of conservative candidates around the country turn their attention to spending a lot of resources in a state where, frankly, they don't have much chance at all of winning either in Congress or in the congressional races or in the presidential contest, that's just a drain on resources from places where if they spent them, they might have an effect on the presidential race or congressional races. So, you know, I think it's actually, when we look back on the 2008 election, I'll make a bold prediction now that I think it'll wind up helping us.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take phone calls. We'll take them in just one moment. 800-486-8655. Gay marriage became legal in California this week by order of the state Supreme Court, and we are talking about same-sex marriage in this country. Our guests are State Representative from Washington, Jamie Peterson, serving the 43rd Legislative District, Eric Shore, part of a gay couple living in California, and he's planning on getting married on he and his partner's 27th anniversary in July. To your calls in a moment, I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to your phone calls now, and let's start with Judy from Reedstown. Hi, Judy.
Hi. I'd just like to say that my partner and I were together for 37 years before she died, And if you were alive today, I know we'd be heading for California to get married. But to affirm the relationship, but also, I want to emphasize this, to sign up for all the responsibilities, the obligations, and the commitments that marriage entails. So it's not just all benefits and rights, and I hope we can remember all those.
Eric, you want to respond?
I agree completely. There are the benefits of equality, and there are also all of the responsibilities that come with a legal commitment. And I'm looking forward. Bring them on.
If I can just jump in and add, you know, in Washington, we're a few years behind where California is in building out a domestic partner registry. We've done that quite explicitly to educate people about what discrimination and hardships same-sex couples face because they don't have access to marriage the same way that different-sex couples do. And one of the things that we've tried to emphasize as we've added now close to 200 rights and obligations is the obligations. And the obligations are numerous, actually. One of the ones that affects me as a legislator directly is that before we made these changes, it was perfectly possible for me in filing my financial disclosure forms not to disclose anything about my partner's income or assets or debts. And now, as of June 12th, when our expansion of the domestic partner registry went into effect, all public officials who have registered domestic partners have to make those disclosures.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks very much for your call. Tom is next from Fond du Lac. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I'm just curious, why is it or is it important to gay people that same-sex unions be called marriage? It just seems like marriage has traditionally been defined as between a man and a woman, and it would just seem to me that it would throw one more impediment to acceptance of this. I personally have no objection to it, but I feel maybe it would be better if it was called something other than marriage. Is that an important issue with gay people?
I'll start. I would say absolutely it is important. And in fact, that was the central question that was before the California Supreme Court. A similar question is before the Connecticut Supreme Court right now. The state of California, over the course of the last 8 years, had constructed a parallel universe of separate and unequal for state-registered domestic partners that really offered just about all of the same state law rights and benefits that are available to different sex couples, but calling it a different name. And the real question before the California court was, is there any rational reason other than just trying to brand these relationships as inferior for the state to call the same right package of rights and obligations by a different name that people don't understand as well.
Mm-hmm.
So one issue is just that sort of branding and stamp of inferiority. A second and much more practical issue is that when people who are married cross jurisdictional lines, if you drive from California into Oregon or from Wisconsin into Upper Michigan or Illinois, you don't even think about needing a marriage visa or some sort of guarantee that your relationship is still going to be respected when you're in a different state. And that is, of course, the problem that everyone who's been a party to a civil union in Vermont or New Hampshire or a domestic partnership in Oregon or California or Washington has. Those terms don't have any meaning in most other states' laws or in the laws of most other countries. And so, potentially even traveling through Norway or Denmark, you'd need to register in every jurisdiction to try to get some protection from the laws. So the issue of what we call portability, the knowledge that your relationship is going to be respected wherever you go, is a very concrete thing that goes with marriage because everyone knows around the world that marriage means a committed, lifelong relationship between a couple.
Yeah. Thanks, Tom, very much for the call. Eric, do you have to go?
No, I'm all right. Thank
good,
you.
Good. Okay. Let's go next to Dave from Appleton. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Kind of a comment, just to for people who may be listening to this show, who maybe have a philosophical objection to marriage, a religious objection. You know, okay, marriage can be between you have the church marriage, God, etc. But in the practical reality. Give you a little bit of a story here. I come from Albany, New York, and I just counted that during the show. I have 15 close friends that I've known since third grade, and 11 of those friends are married or were married at some point, sometimes more than once. Only four are still together, of marriages that have lasted. And of the four, the second longest relationship is my best friend, who is gay. And he and his partner got married in Massachusetts 2 years ago or a year ago. But anyway, I mean, they've had that commitment that I think marriage is about. And I think that people who object to bestowing the rights of marriage upon people, again, the state marriage versus the church, if they object to that, they should get out there and understand that real human beings who are as committed as they hope that they are in their own relationships, suffer when we have these artificial distinctions. So it's really a comment more than a question.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks very much. Let's give a response to you, Eric.
I think Dave is right on with what he's talking about. I think that we have loving relationships, and we just want to follow the same rules that everyone else does, not looking for anything special. We just don't want to be discriminated against or kept in a separate class, because as we've learned through history, separate is not equal.
Mm. Yeah. Have both of you noticed, I think I've seen polls on this, that the younger you are, this is just sort of a non-issue for people who are 30 years old or 25 or whatever, they do see it as an issue of discrimination, and gay marriage is something that doesn't bother them at all. Because a lot of people have come out in the last 20 years. They have friends who are gay. We see gay people on television, etc. It's just not something that bothers them at all, which indicates to me that this may finally be something that we all accept. I'm not sure how long it's going to take. But do you see an age difference here in who's accepting and who finds this very problematic?
I would agree with what you're saying, that typically younger people tend to be more progressive. They don't necessarily understand what all the fuss is about. And I think that if people look rationally at the whole issue, it's very difficult to have a problem with it other than, but that's not the way it's always been.
Right.
And when you get stuck there or you misinterpret the Bible, then there are all sorts of issues. But as far as fairness and equality and giving people the right to live happily, which is sort of the American way, I think young people do not have the issue.
Mm-hmm. Representative Peterson, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the polling data is pretty conclusive on that, that if you look at the group by age that is most strongly opposed, it's over 65. And when you get down to the 18 to 30-year-olds, it's almost more than flipped in terms of the percentage of people who support marriage equality. So I think over time there's very little question, and frankly there's been for years very little question about how this would end up. It's more a question of what the path is that it would take and how long and how many people would be forced to live out their lives, how many couples, without having the protections for their family that come with marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that shift happens sooner rather than later.
Mm. We have lots of emails that have come in. Let's go through at least one now. It's past time to recognize that our gay neighbors are equal citizens entitled to equal rights under the law. It's that simple. Wade from Spooner. Is it that simple? Eric?
Yes. Yes. Yay, Wade.
Representative Peterson?
I agree that it is that simple. It really is not a very complicated issue. The hard part is that people do get confused about the difference between a marriage and a church, and this package of legal rights and obligations that the state has called marriage. And if you start to think about it, there really is no reason that our government, which is the government of everybody and isn't supposed to be representing any particular religion or, frankly, religion at all, ought to be handing out a package of rights and obligations based on someone's religious beliefs.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point, isn't it? Let's go to Linda from Pleasant. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm not gay, but I'll tell you, I have a real hard time understanding the mentality of a lot of the human beings. I mean, I'm 46, so I'm not in that younger group that you were just talking about. I have friends that are gay. They're human beings, and sometimes I think that they're being treated as if it was a disease that, you know, you need to stay away from, or, you know, they're freaks, and they're people. And I just, it bothers me that this whole thing is such an issue, and it's an issue in elections, and it's an issue. There are people that want to be together and deserve to have the same rights that we all have. And there are churches they can get married in. You know, I mean, there's, you know, they got the Unitarian churches, you know, the ones that don't specify what a certain God or what, you know, what you believe in. I just wanted to give that comment, and I hope all goes well for all the gay community. I mean, you deserve it.
Thanks, Linda, for the call. Representative Peterson?
Yeah, I'll throw in that my partner and I were married at our Lutheran church 4 years ago. Hmm. Our congregation, Central Lutheran in Seattle, has actually been marrying couples since the 1970s. And there are many congregations, Episcopal, Congregational, Unitarian, American Baptist, all across the spectrum, as well as Reformed Jewish, that have blessed the unions of same-sex couples. Many of them call them marriages. So it is sort of funny that it's not just even religion. It is one particular brand or sort of side of the political spectrum within religion whose views are getting put into law or enforced in law.
So you're married, but when we think of marriage, we also think of inheritance, property rights, taxation, hospital visits, those things that Eric brought up earlier, and you don't have those rights, right?
Well, it's a funny thing. One of the points that I think was very powerful that the trial court judge made here in King County in the marriage litigation is that we mean different things when we talk about marriage, and it's important to unpack that a little bit. One way that we talk about marriage is just as a lifelong personal commitment that doesn't have anything to do with anyone else. Some people decide that they're married at a point in their relationship, and we colloquially refer to people as joined at the hip or married, not meaning anything about whether there's been a ceremony or whether there's any sort of legal obligation. We also talk about marriage as the ceremony, the wedding ceremony in the church, and think about that kind of a religious blessing. And then the third kind of marriage, which is really the only thing that we're talking about here, is civil marriage, the recognition by the state that there is a special relationship, lifelong committed relationship between two people that ought to be given legal effect. And, you know, I guess I should point out that sometimes the state gives the relationship legal effect not really to pass out rights or obligations, but just to make things, sometimes to protect the state. So, for example, we don't allow the spouses of employees of the lottery or lottery employees themselves to play the lottery. But if you're the domestic partner or unmarried partner of someone who works at the lottery, there's no ban on your playing the lottery. the law is just shot through with, in Washington, nearly 500 different statutes that treat unmarried couples and married couples differently. And, you know, it's just a recognition of how pervasive that status is in our society.
800-486-8655 is our number. We're talking about gay marriage becoming legal in California this week by order of the state Supreme Court. We have two guests with us responding to that. State Representative from Washington, Jamie Peterson, who is serving the 43rd Legislative District in Washington. And we are also speaking with Eric Shore, who is going to be getting married, he and his partner, on their 27th anniversary, and that's taking place in July. Jamie chaired the board of the national civil rights organization Lambda Legal and served as Lambda's lead volunteer lawyer on the state's marriage equality case. All right, back to your phone calls and emails in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back to your phone calls and emails. Let's go to an email now, gentlemen. This is from Al in Milwaukee. It seems to me that being against gay marriage really doesn't have anything to do with defending marriage, but is just a cloak for homophobia. If straight people genuinely wanted to protect marriage, they'd be agitating to make divorce illegal, as it once was, instead of engaging in legal gay bashing. What do you think?
Well, I basically agree. I think that the idea of making divorce illegal would be the ultimate protection of marriage. I don't think that's what anyone's goal is, and therefore protecting marriage is a little bit of a ruse. Are we really supposed to legislate whether people can be happy? As a representative mentioned, it's whether or not you want to have a religious wedding. That's up to you. So your religious beliefs are able to be handled on either side of the spectrum. If your church doesn't go with it, then and you don't want it, you're in the right church. So it's the government, not the church, that we're looking for.
You want to respond, Representative Peterson?
Yeah, I think that marriage is under attack from a lot of different directions. I think it is the ultimate complement to marriage and to the enduring importance of marriage that gay and lesbian couples want to participate in the institution and are willing to undertake the responsibilities and the rights to care for each other. So, you know, society really benefits from having couples in enduring, committed relationships. When people get sick or if they're unemployed, there's an immediate safety net in the form of a family that's given legal protection that can by which people can take care of each other and not need to use the public safety net that obviously is in such tatters today. So, it's perverse, frankly, and irrational for the public not to want to encourage people to be in these lifelong committed relationships and then to give them legal effect.
Mm-hmm. Matt from Madison, hi.
Hey, good morning.
Hello.
I'm actually fall in the 30 and under group, and I am strongly opposed to gay marriage. I'm very proud of Wisconsin's statute banning it, and I think the fact that over 70% of the people were agreeing with that statute sends a pretty clear precedent that not everybody is on board or feels comfortable with this. And I always find it funny that we're looking for equality, but yet when you have institutions that are looking to provide support for adoption of children, as in the Catholic Church or several other private organizations do, they have certain social constructs that they believe in. And when you have those organizations being hauled into court and sued because they won't place children in homes that they don't feel are appropriate, regardless if they're loving or not, whether they agree with the social construct or not, they're being sued, and they're either forced to close by the state, who says that you may have an activist judge that says what you're doing is not right, and then you have the public outrage that comes, and you have statutory amendments, constitutional amendments. You're looking at now a U.S. constitutional amendment, a push for that. I think that in order to be accepted and say, you know, we're just looking for acceptance, you have to drop all of the litigation. Not everybody is going to agree. Not everybody is going to recognize that these particular social constructs are acceptable. And to push and say, you must accept us, is wrong.
What problems do you have? What's the basis of your concern about gay marriage, Matt?
I just find that the social and family construct is unnatural. Having two men or two women, whether or not they love one another, I see as an inappropriate representation of what a family is. Mm-hmm. A family is there to raise children, to have them naturally, not to adopt them and bring them up in a different social construct. And that's my belief. I mean, a lot of people aren't going to be happy with that, but I know many of my peers that I hang around with in my group all believe the same thing.
Okay. So, Representative Peterson.
Yeah, I'll say a couple of things. First of all, just to clarify about the kinds of litigation that are being mentioned, I think many people in Wisconsin are probably proud of the fact that it was the state of Wisconsin now, 26 years ago, that became the first state in the country to ban discrimination based on sexual orientation. And when we're talking about adoption agencies, for example, what we're really talking about is not what those agencies can do in terms of their placement, but we're talking about the use of government resources, because many of those nonprofits draw significant resources from tax dollars that all of us pay. And so the question is, can those tax dollars, those public resources, be used to discriminate against people? And I would say that there's a strong public policy in Wisconsin, as in Washington and California and many places around the country, that they should not be used to discriminate against people on the basis of sexual orientation. So, that's one piece of it. I guess the other thing that if I could take a minute and just tell a story about the ban on interracial marriage. You know, at one point in this country, there were 42 out of the 48 states that had legal bans on people of different races getting married to each other. In 1948, as I mentioned earlier in the program, California became the first state to strike down one of those bans judicially. But it was the 15th state Supreme Court that had that question brought to us over and over again. Advocates of striking down those bans had been unsuccessful, and finally they got that breakthrough in a case called Perez v. Sharp. Over the next 20 years, a number of those bans started to fall, and in 1967, the U.S. Supreme Court decided that the remaining bans were against the federal Constitution in a case called Loving v. Virginia. Well, when that case was in the trial court in Virginia, the court said that Almighty God had created the races red, black, brown, yellow, white, and Malay, and he, with a capital H, had placed them on different continents for a reason. That judge thought that it was also unnatural for people of different races to marry. And, of course, there were similar citations to the Bible about how that the sort of construct of one-race marriage had been something from all eternity. There had been an attempt to amend the federal constitution to ban interracial marriage across the entire country. And in 1967, Gallup did polling on this and found that over three-quarters of Americans believed that it was wrong and immoral for people of different races to
really?
Marry each other.
Huh.
Well, fast forward to 2003, and you can be either horrified or glad that it flipped the other way. Now more than three-quarters of Americans think it's just fine for people of different
yes.
races to marry each other.
Yes.
And part of what happened is just education. Part of what happened is a generational shift as people who were brought up with one idea about what was natural faded away, and people who came of age at a time when they saw couples of different races and families that had different races included, they just came to see that mm-hmm. as being something that was part of the fabric of our world and part of the fabric of our country.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is likely to continue to be some group of people who will always feel, for whatever reason, that same-sex couples ought not to marry. But I feel a lot of confidence that over time we'll see the same arc toward justice and equal treatment.
Thank you very much for the call, Matt. And how long do you think that will take, Eric?
Well, I think that the election in November is going to play a role in how long that's going to take. I think what happens with the California initiative will set the stage as to whether the tides are turning, which I know is, or believe, which is why the extreme right is going to put so much financial backing behind the discrimination bill. And again, people who don't think it's natural I think that's the beauty of the American way. They don't need to get married. If they are gay and don't think it's right, or straight and don't think gays, we can all believe things, but it doesn't need to be legislated that we are forbidden. This country really wasn't founded on forbidding people and taking away rights. He's with a group of friends. Our other caller is with a group of friends that obviously have strong beliefs. But our getting married doesn't affect their beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Here's another email. My ex-husband, Jeff, who is gay, can finally marry his partner of 32 years, something I was able to do as soon as he and I divorced. My current husband and I are going to celebrate with them because it was obvious from the first that Jeff and his partner belong together from the start, and their union is truly one to celebrate. I'm invited to 3 male-female weddings this summer, where the main objective for the women seems to be having a huge wedding rather than celebrating a loving union. If the main thing that a marriage requires is that the couple are a male and female, then marriage itself is in far greater trouble than it will be if the couples are gay. Response, gentlemen.
Bravo.
Okay. Let's go to Mike from La Crosse. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Thank you. Just a comment, but as I was listening to the last caller, something did strike me in his comments as far as considering a family where naturally born children are part of that family. There are many, many heterosexual families who have adopted children. But the main reason I'm calling is for this comment. I believe that as long as we have the extreme right, believing that it's okay to deny certain responsibilities, rights, and privileges to many people, single people included, and I'm directing this towards affordable health care provided to all citizens, gay, straight, single, married. We can't even get to that point in this country, this progressive country of ours. I still believe it's the greatest country in the world, but until the majority really believes in providing, in my opinion, basic human rights as affordable health care, the same rights I have, it doesn't surprise me that gays are having a tough time getting legislation passed to legalize their marriage. Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. Representative?
Well, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about as the caller was speaking is that in my campaign, healthcare was one of the largest issues
mm-hmm.
that I talked about, access to affordable healthcare for everyone in the state. We made some progress on that during my first term. We actually put in place a program that will provide health care for all kids in Washington by 2010. But the real irony is that it wound up being much easier to get the domestic partnership registry through and the expansion of the domestic partnership registry. And I think ultimately it'll be easier to get marriage through the legislature than it will be to provide universal health care. One of the sad facts about the legislative system, in part because, you know what, it costs a lot of money to make sure that everyone has health care. This doesn't it doesn't cost anything to provide protection to these families. And it really is irrational for us not to help these families, my family, help us help ourselves.
Mm. Thanks for the call. We have about a minute left, so we need to be brief. Vince from Eau Claire, hi.
Hi, Kathleen and guest.
Can you speak up, Vince? You're real soft here.
Yes. Can you hear me now?
A little better, yeah.
Hi, Kathleen and guest. I guess as a former gay man and someone who understands that a lot of people come from a hatred perspective because they don't understand gay people, I'm most concerned, and again, as a Christian, about the soul of the individual. My life did not transform itself until I made that transition, and I am deeply concerned about the soul of the individuals involved. It has nothing to do with discrimination.
Okay, I'm not sure if our guest can respond to that. Eric, you want to try in 10 seconds?
It's going to be difficult to respond, as I was really not quite able to hear.
Yeah,
I think the nice thing about worrying about the soul is I, in my religious belief, that's for God to do, and for me in my relationship with God, and I don't want to see it legislated.
Okay. Thank you so much, gentlemen. It was a very interesting hour. Thanks. Good luck on the wedding.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Our guest, Washington State Representative Jamie Peterson, serving the 43rd Legislative District in Washington. Eric Shore, who is part of a gay couple living in California, and they're planning to wed on their 27th anniversary in the month of July. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, and to Rhonda Fanning, for producing the hour before as well. John Treader, our on-air production guy here in Milwaukee. Thanks to John and to you for all of your calls. Veronica Rickert has her show tomorrow from 9 to 11, and I'll be with you again Monday at 9 for all things political. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.